Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. We're Steve Jones, roots for the Steelers, and Kevin roots for Cortez Allen.
No, don't even start that rumor. I do not root for Cortez. I root for Cortez Allen to actually cover somebody. That's what I root for.
Yeah, but you're an individualist. I'm for the team.
No, I'm for him to actually cover a receiver. That would be a step in the right direction.
I think you're a bitter fan.
I think he stinks.
He speaks highly of you.
I'm sure he does. Now, can I do a better job than he does? No, but I don't know that I could do a much worse job.
Well, I'll tell you who does the best job, and that is Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The beverage supermarket imports domestic microbrews. Stock up for the weekend and start thinking about stocking up for the holidays and start thinking about maybe a couple of holiday gifts you want to give. Did I mention beer? Oh, yeah. And also soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts every day, and the pickle bar second to none. You know I love those barrel pickles. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. A lot of great stuff this weekend. Stock up tonight. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hubble's Wharf. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report in just a few minutes. But first, a big day today at the University of Michigan, where athletic director Dave Brandon, considered a couple of years ago as one of the more powerful athletic directors in all sports, resigned. And you sense the resignation was not one of those, you know what, I think I'll give the job up. I think it was after consulting with the new president, who was involved and has been on the job since September. And he is out with an interim AD in. So with that, we change gears quickly and bring in my very good friend, John U. Bacon. John, interesting times. Tell us about the Brandon resignation and how it came about at Michigan.
Well, I'll say this. It kind of reminds me in some ways, Steve, of baseball, Major League Baseball in the 70s, the concrete donuts at Veterans, at Three Rivers, and so on, and the fake grass and the funny uniforms. It was a bad idea, and it went away. And that's kind of how I feel about this. The AD as CEO can only go so far. You need strong business practices. You need strong business knowledge, no question about it. But as we said before on your show, and, of course, always a pleasure to be back with my friend Steve Jones, man, Penn State football, Michigan football, it's not a business. It's a religion. If you don't understand that, you're going to miss out on the fans, because they're not customers. They're fans. They're believers. And that's, to me, what this whole thing is really all about.
Which means, of course, there has been an alienation of the believers. Let me get to the student part. Where did he go wrong with the students where they decided not to come in, at least some of them, for the start of the Penn State-Michigan game to make a point?
Two places, Steve. One, they cranked up the student ticket prices to the highest in the Big Ten by far. $295 a season. I think Penn State is in the low 200s, even the hundreds. So $295 per season, you cranked it up with the worst schedule in the history of the school, which is not good timing there. And then on top of that, they also imposed general admissions instead of the usual system that Michigan had, where you go, you know, best seats go freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. And when you're senior, of course, you're on the 30-yard line. So I think those are the three places. But on top of all of that, this came a condescending attitude towards pretty much everybody, including the students, which at some point they got tired of and bailed.
Yeah, leadership through arrogance is never going to win anybody over. Where did he go wrong with the alumni and, quote, friends of the program?
I would say in some places the same way. And by the way, I know how popular the STEP program is at Penn State. You can thank Michigan for the STEP program, because that basically is Michigan's program. They called Michigan and said, what are you guys doing? And they showed them, and then Penn State started doing it too, and that's where I saw empty seats at Beaver Stadium for the first time in my lifetime. So it's kind of the same stuff. that you overpriced it. You're paying steakhouse prices, Steve, for basically drive-through schedule, and you can't keep doing that. And on top of that, the endless timeouts, the flyovers, the Beyonce, the rock music, the ads for the wrestling team or the gymnastics team, or have your wedding at the stadium for $10,000 and all this business. What the fans at Penn State and Michigan like, and they're about the purest fans I've found in college football. You like the blue band, you like the fight songs, you like the inside jokes, a bit of rock music maybe, but it's all student-driven and fan-driven. And if you lose that, it becomes an NFL game. And trust me, the Eagles and the Steelers cannot draw what the Lions draw, and that's true in Detroit, of course, as well. The Lions cannot draw, the Detroit Lions cannot draw what Michigan draws because, again, Steve, it ain't a businessman, it's religion, don't forget it.
Jim Hackett is a guy that played for Bo Schembechler. You knew Bo Schembechler as well as anybody would because you sat down and you had many a conversation with him as you wrote. What does Jim Hackett bring to the table as an interim that maybe Michigan fans might like?
I think a lot of things. I know Jim quite well. I've got a chapter on Jim in the Bo book. He's a third-string nose guard back in the mid-70s. But he kept at it, and of course, these are the guys that end up being millionaire CEOs. He's the CEO, or was, of Steelcase yep. Furniture here in Grand Rapids, Michigan, which is the biggest in the world. And he's got a very calm presence. He clearly knows business, but he also knows he's a much, much lower profile guy than Dave Brandon. And I think in this case, that'll go a long way. He knows he's got some fences to mend. Even before the permanent AD comes in, and he's just the guy to do it. He's a very, very agreeable, likable guy, and I see him going over very well.
One thing that Dave Brandon did was, for example, changing over Chrysler Arena to Chrysler Center, which means he had to obviously forge some relationships with major donors to do the $90 million renovation. Did he have support in those quarters, or did that eventually erode?
I did have support in those quarters for quite a while, and that's one of the biggest sources of the increased revenue from $100 million to $150 million during his 4 years, which is substantial, obviously. But you are right that Stephen Ross, who owns the Miami Dolphins, a proud Michigan alum, MBA from Michigan, who also is now the Ross School of Business, Steve, and trust me, he will not be called the Bacon School of Writing. So he clearly dropped some money for that one, $100 million, I believe, plus some other money. But he said publicly in the Wall Street Journal this week that he will not get in the president's way of any decision that he has to make, which means that I'm not going to block it, which means do what you got to do. And that message there is pretty clear. And once you lose the donors, on the high end, Steve, you got the donors. On the low end, if you will, you got the students. And once you've lost, you know, Alpha to Omega, it does not leave much.
Rich Rodriguez out, goes to Arizona. We see what he's done there. Brady Hoke comes in. With Rich Rodriguez's talent that was recruited, wins early. Now we know where they are. Is there now a Brady Hoke watch because Dave Brandon would have been his primary supporter?
I think there is, and I think that watch really started before, frankly, Brandon was fired. The conventional wisdom, if you will, Stephen, I think it's true, was that Brandon had to go first in order to conduct a search for Hoke if necessary. Look, right now they're 3-5, and I can say objectively, Steve, as a Michigan man, that you guys got screwed on that offsides call. So that being the case, that's really Michigan's only marquee win, and it might have boiled down to what can only be called a dubious referee's decision.
Well, now the future. So many great things are in place. How important, John, will the next 3 months be to forge the next 30 years for Michigan?
That's the best question of the day right there, Steve. You're right. That whoever the next AD is, whoever the next coach is, chances are you're going to get 10 or 15 years out of that duo. And you look back to when Michigan was also on its knees back in 1968, and they had about $3 million in debt, or $300,000, which back then was like $3 million. You had a coach that was outgoing. They had lost to Ohio State 50-14 because, of course, Whitty goes for two. And then they hired Don Canham and Bo Schembechler, and that, of course, sets up Michigan for a few decades, basically. So that really is what's needed this time around. They have to go big. The next AD, the next coach, they will not be caretakers, Steve. They've got to rebuild a proud empire.
Yeah, that's the big part of it, because if they can do that, because it is an awesome fan base, they will come back, I think.
Well, look at you guys. I mean, the Penn State story, and I was in Philadelphia last night, actually, with Franco Harris and that crowd, talking about your situation. And already, I mean, man, taking Ohio State to overtime, that was an impressive run, to say the least. I think that if you guys can come back from that, really almost immediately, if you guys can get out of this whole situation without ever being sub-500, which I think is going to happen, then, of course, Michigan surely, Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State are built to succeed. No matter what else is going on, no matter what else they're dealing with, the infrastructure is there, the fan base is there, the passion is there, the legacy, the tradition, the history, it's all there for those three schools. So I do believe that Michigan, like Ohio State, like Penn State, is a sleeping giant, and they should probably be competing again with those guys within 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, in fact, that's what Penn State, of course, has been in the interesting spot. They've hired a president, athletic director, and head football coach, and hit home runs with all three. That's one of the reasons why I asked the 3 months equaling 30 years question, because I think Penn State's done that. One final question, John, then I'll let you go. For the Big Ten, which, of course, has taken its national hits left and right, the importance of the brands of Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan over the next 10 years becoming the players that we think they should be.
I think you're dead right there, Steve. Look, I mean, God bless Iowa, Wisconsin, and Nebraska. But when people think of the Big Ten, that's not what they think of. They think of course, the Big Three. And it's Penn State, Ohio State, and Michigan. What is ACC basketball when Duke and UNC are down? I mean, Wake Forest, I'm sorry, is not going to get me watching on a Sunday. So that is very true. And once in a while, a dip is probably good to make everybody human and probably a little humbler than they probably need to be. But ultimately, though, those three battling at the top will get a lot more national attention. And honestly, right now, the biggest problem that Michigan State and Ohio State have got with the national picture is the Big Ten is too weak to get points. So I think all the schools need, even at a practical level now, with the BCS system, you need a strong Big Ten just to launch yourself into the playoffs. So I suspect that once all three are back on their feet, I bet within a couple of years, things will be a lot closer to what you and I are used to in our lifetimes than what we've seen. So anyway, I'll tell you what right now, I don't like seeing Penn State down, and I'm ambivalent about Ohio State.
and to
but,
be honest with you...
But I don't like seeing Penn State down. I don't think Penn State likes seeing Michigan down. It needs to be a strong Big Ten.
I agree with you. I think they need to have a point where those... If they're going to play every year, which they will, you need to have, suddenly out of nowhere, Penn State plays Michigan, Penn State plays Ohio State, Michigan plays Ohio State. Those need to be the three biggest games of the season for the conference because of what it means nationally. And I think because the brand names bring that much weight to it.
Well, as usual, you're right on. And look, those three games, you know, the Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, Troika, if you will, those are the games where the rest of the country has got to stop what they're doing and watch ABC primetime big boy football. And that's got to get going again. So I think those days, again, are not too far away, but they are essential for Big Ten to succeed.
My good friend, it's always a pleasure. We will talk very shortly.
Steve, I'll be around all next week, and I'm guaranteed the story ain't done, buddy.
I hear you. I guarantee it's not done either. John, thanks so much, bud.
Thank you, Steve. Always a pleasure.
John Eubanks, my good friend, as we, with the breaking news on Michigan, we went to him as our go-to guy to talk about it and break it down. It's an important moment for Michigan and also in the Big Ten. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, coming up next half hour to break down the Steelers and the Ravens. We'll come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory area Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com. The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Back. Great to have you with us. Now, Kevin is locked in. Well, let's see. I guess tonight would be your second lock-in day because you're actually really locked in totally on the Steelers and Ravens Sunday night.
Yeah, but that's Sunday night.
And the Cortez Allen Bowl. Of course, this is Halloween, and I know it's trick-or-treat time, and Tony DeFazio going door-to-door, aren't you, Tony?
Sorry to make you track me down, but you found me, and here I am. So how are you guys today?
Yes, I know. We had to go house to house to find out which one you were in front of and how many Snickers bars you've been able to accumulate so far.
He strikes me as more of a Reese's Cup kind of person.
Now, what are you anyway? You a Reese's, a Snickers, a Hershey bar, a Three Musketeers? What are you?
If you really get down to it, guys, I am a Baby Ruth fan. Big
Baby,
fan
Ruth.
Baby Ruth.
Wow, okay.
I thought he was going to say Three Olives.
I have worked with those before. Over the years, I've worked with Three Olives, sometimes with people before the show. Tony, the Ravens and the Steelers, what should be different this time compared to the Thursday night game in September? What, based on how they're both playing right now, what should be different?
Well, the Steelers should score more than 6 points. Let me at least start there. It looks like, based on the last 2 weeks, especially last week, obviously, that the Steelers' offense is finally clicking. I think we all thought that they were capable, not necessarily of a 500-yard game and the kind of game that Roethlisberger had last week, but of having a productive offense because they've had it in fits and spurts throughout the season. The talent is certainly there, and it seems like they finally have started to put it together. Now they're going to have to do it more than once. They're going to have to do it, on a week-in, week-out basis, but it looks like that is happening. Defensively, the Steelers certainly have their issues, and that inexperience and that kind of stuff isn't going to go away overnight. But that is such a difficult conference to figure, such a difficult division to figure out, Steve. I mean, a month ago, I'd have told you with a lot of confidence that the Bengals were the best team in the division. 2 weeks ago, I'd have said it was Baltimore. Based on the last couple of weeks, maybe you say it's Pittsburgh. I really don't know. The team that's been the most consistent has probably been the Browns. You know, they've been a 500-type, mediocre-type team. That's what a mediocre team looks like. Everybody else has been so up and down, it's just been difficult to figure out what you're going to get on any given Sunday. I think with the Ravens, they're dealing with a lot of injuries right now, which is probably their biggest issue.
What was better on Sunday, the play calling or the execution?
Well, the execution certainly makes the play calling better, doesn't it? If you're able to find guys who can step up and get solid blocking and get guys running the right routes, and you have the receivers on the same page as the quarterback, it makes the offensive coordinator look like a genius. When you have drop passes and bad routes, it makes the offensive coordinator look like a bum. And Todd Haley's been both at various times over the past couple of years. When Ben Roethlisberger is as on as he was on Sunday, it's hard to call bad plays. So I guess at the end of the day, I'm not a big guy who's going to criticize the play calling. I firmly believe it's the execution most of the time. And I think you saw when these guys execute, when they're all on the same page, when you have some young receivers who are finally understanding things, Todd Haley looks like he knows what he's doing.
Dallas is getting a lot of praise
for drafting an offensive line that now matches the talent of Tony Romo, DeMarco Murray, Dez Bryant? Should Pittsburgh be getting that same credit?
If they can be a little bit more consistent, then yeah. You know, I think that bringing Mike Munchak on to develop that talent has certainly helped. And I think maybe the biggest part of it is the guy in the middle is healthy. Marquise Pouncey is healthy. But yeah, David DeCastro has been very, very good. And, you know, Marcus Gilbert was solid. And you have to give credit to Mike Adams, a guy who was really, you know, fighting for his Steeler life this offseason and in camp. He stepped in and played very well, not just well enough, but he's played very well on the right side the past couple of weeks. So, yeah, you know, this is a team that has spent a lot of draft picks on offensive linemen. The Pounceys and the DeCastros developed pretty quickly. The tackles, Adams and Gilbert, not as much as they would have liked, but I think we're starting to see some consistency now. And yeah, I think they drafted the right guys, and they also hired the right coach to develop those guys.
What is the Cortez Allen issue, and how can you help him to solve it?
That's a great question, Steve. I don't know. You know, the thing is, he is one of their more talented cornerbacks, and they have to try to figure out how to solve it. That's the issue. You know, sitting him down might work for spurts. It might work here and there, but Antoine Blake and Bryce McCain were not brought in to beat out Cortez Allen. They were brought in to give him a little bit of support and to be depth guys. And that you have to give them credit for playing well, but you also have to wonder how long can they play at an acceptable level. The guy that they have to fix is Cortez Allen. And, you know, right now I think so much of it playing that position is confidence. You know, I don't know if Carnell Lake talking to him or bringing in guys that he trusts is going to be the answer or not, but they've got to figure out a way to get something out of Cortez Allen. Benching him, like I said, while it might solve the problem for a quarter or a half or a game, is not the long-term solution. He has to figure out how to get on the field.
Tony, happy Halloween. Don't forget, we'll make sure that we have extra baby Ruths at the house waiting for you because we want to keep you happy.
That sounds good to me. I'll eat whatever I can find. Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Final half hour. Open lines with Kevin. Oh, I'll be here too.
You're much more interesting. I admit that.
I find the Kevin questions more entertaining.
Oh boy.
Back of the jersey, let's root for that as opposed to the front of the jersey or the helmet.
Cortez Allen is the best they have. That's what scares me right now. That comment scared me.
Well, it should have, but you had a draft to solve that and didn't draft a corner, did you?
Agreed.
Everybody should stay with the same team forever. Do you think Cortez Allen should be a Steeler forever?
No, he would want I would accept to leave now or sooner.
Cody Jade, News Bottom of the Hour. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury on News Radio 107.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, welcome. Great to have you back. Today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports domestic microbrews. Did I mention beer? Yes, and soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts every day, and the pickle bar is second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. High school football and a lot of it coming up tonight across the area. Sealands Grove will be in action against Southern Columbia. That's on Eagle 107. Coming up tonight, Mifflinburg will take on Lewisburg tonight. That'll be at Susquehanna University tonight. And that game will kick off at 7 on the Valley, 100.9. Milton will be at Shikellamy tonight on senior night for Shikellamy. In that game, the Milton side will be on 1380 WMLP. And, of course, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, the Shikellamy broadcast with Kevin Herr and the coach Dick Hort. 6:30 will be the airtime for the pregame, and 7 o'clock is the kickoff. That's all in the Sunbury Broadcasting family of stations tonight. Tomorrow, it'll be Bucknell homecoming game with Lafayette. It'll be on Eagle 107 with Doug Birdsong and Kevin Herr. And, of course, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, Maryland and the Nittany Lions at Beaver Stadium with a noon kickoff and a 10:30 airtime for the Dietz and Watson tailgate show. And, of course, Kevin's beloved Steelers. That's right, they're not only really your beloved Steelers. The Troy Polamalus will be in action taking on the Baltimore Ravens. We might as well go because you're more about individuals. Like, don't trade Kobe. Kobe's the Lakers. Don't trade Troy Polamalu. He's the Steelers. Wrong-o. Get players. Root for the team.
You always talk about trade. Now, before, when we had this conversation, you talked about you said about releasing the player. Trade is a different situation. Releasing a player, I look at differently than trading a player. If it is my favorite player, and I feel that the career is on the slide, and you can get something from him, I think that's actually worth looking into. Example, Chase Utley. Big fan of Chase Utley. Very happy he's a Philly. If there was an offer that they could get better player or more players and improved players as a whole to make the team better, I might be interested in supporting that.
Yeah, the Hunter Pence thing worked great for you.
Well, that's the problem. It hasn't been done very well in Philadelphia lately.
Thought the Cliff Lee thing worked great for you.
Exactly the point I'm trying to make. It's hard to support that when you don't get squat.
Okay, I mean, really, when it comes to trading, you're at half-mast.
I'm not arguing that.
I mean, your ship is in the ocean. It's listing. all right, first of all, trades don't happen in the NFL. Players get released.
Well, I don't know. The Jets just made a trade.
Okay, that's a rarity. All right.
I mean, agreed.
Brian Dawkins, John Lynch. I mean, you want me to go through the whole long list of guys? I mean, Rod Woodson, guys are released.
I'm with you.
Place. Okay. Trades in the NFL don't happen very often. I mean, Jerome Bettis was traded for, and 3.9 yards a carry later.
Okay. He's in the Hall of Fame.
No,
it's a matter of time.
Yeah, you know, Veterans Committee will put him in, and he'll deserve it. But when you look at the NFL, and this is in sports in general, one of the toughest things to do for any organization is to look at somebody and say, you know what, the shelf life has only so much life in it. When do you cut ties? Let me give you an organization that is brilliant at this, and that is the St. Louis Cardinals. The St. Louis Cardinals rarely, if ever, get burned on a trade. Why? Because they self-scout so well that they will make a deal, and this is in the trade realm, they will make a deal and not get burned on it. They'll get something in return. It'll help them out. The player they trade may do well for a little bit, but then the slide comes. They seem to have that understanding of that. Meanwhile, the New England Patriots have been able to stay on top in part because they have not been married to keeping players. They have made decisions over time where they have been able to release players that may be fan favorites or whatever, because they felt there was a certain shelf life. And rarely have you seen, I mean, how well have former Patriots done other places? I mean, how well have former Patriots done in other places? I mean, Logan Mankins will be interesting to see that. I traded him. But Randy Moss, for example, now Danny Woodhead was doing pretty well with San Diego till he got hurt. But again, they, you know, a guy like that, you know, you can plug in the Vereen kid or somebody else that can play that role for you. But normally the Patriots don't get burned on something like that and have done a pretty good job of understanding the shelf life. They've also benefited by playing in one of the weakest divisions in the NFL, where 5 wins, possibly 6, are automatic for them every year. Now, you as the general manager would hang on to them until they would obviously fall off the cliff.
Again, I think it would depend on what I felt I could get. If you can, listen, I'm not against trading a player if you can improve the team.
Yeah, but you don't get anything for these guys. In the NFL, you release them. In other words, here's the point, and you're done. Okay? And take, for example, let's take Brian Dawkins. Brian Dawkins had a great career in Philadelphia. A tough decision for them to make was to release Brian Dawkins. He then went to Denver, had one really good productive year, but then that was it. The 49ers, parted ways with Joe Montana. Now, Montana went to Kansas City and played actually very, very well. But Steve Young was ready to play, and he won them a Super Bowl. So management can't get attached to players and buy their jerseys like fans do. They just can't.
But I also think that from a fan standpoint, if you don't have a player that you can get behind on your team, like here's a great example. Up until this year, who was the fan favorite in Jacksonville?
Yeah, but they're not very good.
I understand that.
I mean, the fan favorite in Jacksonville is Paul Posluszny.
Right. And how often do you see a defensive player outsell other jerseys? I don't know that it happened. I mean, there's a few teams that it's happened.
But they're not very good. If Blake Bortles becomes really – if Jacksonville becomes really good, they'll start selling Blake Bortles jerseys left and right. He'll be a big reason why.
Absolutely. No question. Okay?
I mean, they're not a good football team.
The Jets –
but again, another team that's not a good football team.
I understand, but I'm picking not good football teams for a reason. As an owner, you still have to put butts in the seats, and you still have to make money. So you have to find some way to market your team that people are going to be interested. And that's where I think one particular player makes a difference. Now, if you're a successful team, that's different.
I disagree. You get rid of the dead weight, and you just rebuild the team. Hey, people want to see a winner. I don't think they really care. You'll get fan favorites by winning.
See, I think you can have both worlds.
No. I'll give you a good example, the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Okay.
Hey, the Pittsburgh Pirates, do you know how many people, until they started winning, how many people I would see show up at State College Spikes games wearing Roberto Clemente jerseys? Roberto Clemente has been, unfortunately, dead for 41, almost 42 years now. 41 years. People are wearing jerseys to games that are in their 20s and 30s. In other words, not one time in their lifetime did they ever even see him play a game. I mean, you don't see people walking around as Yankee fans wearing Babe Ruth and Joe DiMaggio jerseys. They're wearing Derek Jeter, Posada, Teixeira. That's what they wear. You don't see them, hey, look, there's a Lou Gehrig number 4. Fabulous, good for you. Nobody wears a Mantle jersey. Right? They just don't.
I remember Bonds jerseys in Pittsburgh for a while.
It doesn't matter. Bonds has been gone for 22 years.
Well, that changes now. Guess whose jersey they're wearing now?
Because they're winning. They're wearing Andrew McCutchen jerseys.
But even before they were winning, he was still the highest selling jersey in Pittsburgh. He wasn't?
Roberto Clemente was. Roberto Clemente jerseys.
So McCutchen was not being outworn.
When they started to win, yes.
Okay.
But you go to a game. Look, I'm doing it. See, the difference is I'm doing it by visuals. I see 21s all over the place.
All right, well, I'm not doubting 21. You. I'm just saying.
I sit there and go, what the heck? I mean, it's not like I go to Fenway Park. Oh, yeah, let's all wear Kari Yastrzemski's 8. Nah, he's long gone. Okay? Great, great player. Same realm as Clemente. Had more hits, more home runs, the whole thing. Okay? But, I mean, and it's because they weren't winning. Then finally, when they started winning, McCutchen jerseys took off, and now people are wearing that. Because he's the MVP. They're winning. He's a great player. And winning has a lot to do with it. And believe me, if they traded him tomorrow and they brought in the guy that made him win, they'd buy that jersey.
But you keep saying when they were winning. That's only been like the last couple of years.
Bingo.
I saw a lot of McCutchen jerseys 3 years ago. Even.
I saw none.
Okay, well, I've been watching Root, and I see a lot of them at the stadium. So
I saw one. I'm talking up here.
All right, you're talking broad. Yeah, you're looking broad picture. Okay.
I mean, the Pirates, the Spikes were a Pirates affiliate for six years.
Yes, they were.
Clemente. I'm going, what the heck? And I found it to be sad. You have to develop your own stars. And by the way, if you deal the star and you bring in somebody else, okay, well, fine. Then you start selling his jersey. If Polamalu goes, it'll be somebody else. You'll be wearing a Cortez Allen jersey next week if he makes one interception.
No. No, I will not.
You're really down on Cortez Allen. And the funny thing is, he speaks very highly of you.
Maybe a picture of burnt toast on the front of my Cortez Allen jersey.
Oh, that's just cruel. But take Philadelphia. For a long period of time, they probably wore Donovan McNabb jerseys.
Sure.
Right? Now, today, they're probably wearing LeSean McCoy jerseys.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. What are they wearing in New York, though? Seriously, when you look at the Jets, are they still wearing Namath jerseys yet?
Well, there probably a lot of people do wear Namath jerseys for the Jets.
Klecko?
Again. But again, they're not winning. See, that's my point. If you're not winning, people are not going to get attached to whatever. You know, you say you've got to, you know, build your marketing around a star. You're a National Football League team. Guess what? If you're 3-13, they're mad at the whole collective group. You might as well flush them.
That may be true.
All right? You say they had to market around a guy. What? What guy? When in Jacksonville, when they had Maurice Jones-Drew, let's market around him. I don't know. Here, let's try this marketing concept. Let's win. You have a marketing problem when you're winning and people aren't showing up. Okay? You have a marketing problem when you win and people don't show up. Then you have to look at your marketing department and fire them because you've done the job of the field.
All of a sudden, the bobblehead dolls are not doing their job.
I realize. Now, how many jerseys do you have with your own personal name on it?
One.
One. And how many other jerseys do you have?
One. Well, I still have the Woodson jersey. I do have that. I have not worn it in years, but I still have it.
You still have the Woodson jersey?
I wear it as a throwback.
Wear it as a throwback?
Well, for a long time, it was the only white jersey I had because it was the reversible.
Now, on game day, do you get dressed up game day?
Absolutely.
The Steelers are playing Sunday night. You will wear what?
Now, I haven't done it much this year because just the schedule, the way my schedule's been. But Sunday night, yeah, I will pull out the Woodson. Well, let's see. Will they be in the black jersey? Yeah, they'll be in the black jerseys, won't they? Yeah, if they're in the black jersey, I may have to pull out the black jersey. If they're in the whites, then I pull out the white jersey. I had to think. I couldn't remember where the game was off the top of my head.
Yeah. Yeah, all shorts and a T-shirt on. All right, we'll come back with more. Wrap it up today. No, I just like to relax as I watch the game. What do you want me to do? Put on eye black?
You're the one guy in the sports bar who just sits there and goes, it's a great game. Who are you rooting for? I don't know. Oh, it must be nice to have no allegiances. And then you have an even keel, which makes me understand why your blood pressure is where it is.
We'll come back, preview the weekend for you in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, final 4 minutes of the week. Oh, stop applauding.
That was me.
I mean, come on, man. I hope the audience have a little more respect than that. Our thanks to John Bacon talking about the Michigan situation. Our thanks as well to Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, and also Michael Weinreb, who wrote the book 14 Saturdays in the Fall, joining us on the show today. Appreciate it very much. Another series of big shows next week as Penn State gets ready to go to Indiana. And
ooh, you know what that means? That means next week I get to pull out the Indiana Wants Me bump music. It's the little things in life that make a difference, Steve. You got to look at the fun things, the small things.
Do you drink heavily before shows? I just want to know.
Not heavily, no.
I mean, I already have 8 emails from Roger today about things that you've said that may lead to possible drug testing in the company.
Just water.
That's so you claim. It looks like water.
It's just water. I didn't say where the water came from.
Well, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, stock up for the weekend and start thinking about gifts for the holidays as well. At our good friends, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports domestic microbrews, and, of course, soft drinks, snacks, pickle bar. They roast their peanuts every day. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Big weekend here with Penn State taking on Maryland. High school football tonight, by the way, with Milton at Shikellamy. Kevin fearing it's a trap game. Selins Grove takes on Southern Columbia. And also Lewisburg will be in action against Mifflinburg. Lewisburg, Mifflinburg on the Valley 100.9. Selins Grove, Southern Columbia, that will be on Eagle 107. Milton and Shikellamy, Milton broadcast with Steve Williams on WMLP, Kevin Herr and the coach Dick Hort on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Eagle 107 has Bucknell's homecoming game with Lafayette tomorrow. Penn State football with Maryland tomorrow at Beaver Stadium at noon. Dietz and Watson tailgate show outside the Jordan Ticket Center beginning tomorrow at 10:30. Big weekend. My brother is here. Yeah, it's him in the background. Actually sat in for the last half hour of the show. He thinks you're insane, too.
You know, he could have sat in, too. We wouldn't have had to change any of the lines or anything. The names are all the same.
So have a great weekend, everyone. Have a great broadcast tonight and tomorrow, Kevo.
I will have fun tomorrow. Unfortunately, this is going to be one of the few weekends that I have not heard your voice on Saturday. That you had a Penn State game. I'm going to go through withdrawal.
I'll cut the ratings in half.
I do what I can for you, brother.
All right, we head to the weekend. Enjoy it, everybody. High school football Friday night on this Halloween. Kevin's Open, by the way, has a Halloween theme to it tonight. I just remind him that there's still 2.5 hours of game after that.
Sometimes in my broadcast, listening to me, the Open is the best part. I do it. You do what you can.
I hope for me, mine isn't.
Me too.
Try and let the game speak for itself.
I let the game breathe.
Big game for Penn State tomorrow.